Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long once more to be.
Once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious days of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're seeking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us a greater understanding of this, your word, Heavenly Father, to help us to live a straighter and a stronger life here on earth, Father, to help us to prepare to meet our Lord and Savior in heaven, Father, when the time comes. Father, we ask for your help, because without you and your help, Father, we cannot carry on the work that needs to be done in this day and time. Because without the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we are nothing. It is only through the Lord, Father, that we can do all things that you ask of us to do. Father, we know that all good things comes from you. But it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ to us, and it's brought to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this service this evening. Let the things said and done here this evening be according to the Holy Spirit, your way, your will, and not ours. And once again, Father, we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to be dealing here this evening with two Johns. We're going to be dealing with the Apostle John. And here in the early part of this evening's message, we're also going to be dealing with John the Baptist. Because I'm going to be speaking to you this evening from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. This morning, we dealt with a lot of things that was prophecy from the Old Testament, the prophesied things that was happening in that day, in the first, also prophecy of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. a prophecy about how he was coming, about his life here on earth, and things he would face, and even about his second coming. All prophesied years before it happened. And these are things that we really need in our hearts and our minds so that we can help others out here that's following the ways of this world and that are standing in doubt and denial of the truth of God's Word. Because it's in knowing that a lot of the Old Testament, not just a few verses, but a lot of the Old Testament, especially dealing with the prophets of that day and time, had to do with our day and time, prophesying what was coming. And this was hundreds of years before these things come about, and a lot of them has yet to come about. They've not made it yet. We're going to start here with chapter 1, verse 1 with our reading. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they ask him, what then? Art thou Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ nor Elijah, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. We're going to stop here with the reading for the time being and ask the Lord our God to add his blessing into the reading of this, his word. And may the Lord continue with us throughout this evening and the service this evening. And now may the Holy Spirit come and deliver us and give us the message that God would have each one of us to have this evening. And we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, as we back up here, as I said, this is being written, this letter, this epistle. We call them books, don't we? But they're letters, they're epistles. It's being written by the Apostle John. But this first chapter here is giving us more information about John the Baptist than about the Apostle John and about the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's also letting you and I know he's talking here in this first verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's why we know this book that we call the Holy Bible to be the Word of Almighty God. And it is a living Word. Because when we will take and accept God's word and we bring that in, we reach out and we take it and we bring it in to our own lives and we live that word, we are actually bringing it back into being, making it a living word. It has life in it. It also carries death. If we will live the word of Almighty God, we have life. And we have life for eternity. You see, we don't have to wait until we leave the earth to have eternal life. When we become that born-again child of God, we have eternal life right then. That spirit that is you, that's living in this body, is not going to die or be non-existent. One day it's going to move. It's going to step out of this body, this terrestrial body, and it's going to be and move into celestial body, that heavenly body. And then, according to the way it has lived its life here on this earth, will decide where it is going to spend eternity, whether that will be in heaven or whether that will be in hell. And we need to be ready. And time is growing shorter now. We are well, well into the days of sorrow, in the last days of the church age. And one day, the Lord our God is going to bring this church age to an end. And when he does, those that are left behind are going to go through things and face things that mankind cannot even imagine. And his word lets us know this, but yet we have them out there that don't want to believe in the inert word of Almighty God as being truth. They laugh at it, they mock it, they deny it, just as they will you. It's nothing to find yourself being laughed at today if you're actually a child of God and being mocked. Happens all the time. Because mankind, and here in our own nation, a nation that was founded and its government set upon the Word of God and upon the Lord Jesus Christ, turned its back on both. They took the Lord Jesus Christ out of everywhere. They didn't want that name mentioned nowhere. You couldn't have it on a sign or nothing else out displayed publicly. They didn't want us to use it in our prayers. We were told not to use it anymore in our prayers. They took it away from our military chaplains. Our military chaplains are not allowed to end their prayer in Jesus' name. Yet, our soldiers on the battlefields and all today know very little about Jesus because they can't be told anything about him. But they're out there to protect you and I. Where they have no protection now at all under our government. These are things that most people today are not even thinking about. But he's also talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here. In the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This earth, the heavens and the earth, was spoken into being, was spoken into existence. That's the way God formed them, by speaking them. And we are told to speak to our mountains. And he tells us, you have not because you ask not. We are to speak to God about the things that are on our hearts. And we are to speak to Satan and let him know that he has no part of us when we are a born-again child of the living God, and tell him, you've got to get out of here, get away from me. And you do so in Jesus' name, and he's got to go. The word tells us that if we'll do that, he has to flee. He can't stand against the name of Jesus. It don't mean he won't come back, because he will. And the more of that word you'll learn, and the more of it you'll get out here and share with others, the more he's going to bug you. But each time he comes back, you just get rid of him. And he has to go. You don't have to keep him. But you open the door and he's going to come in. It don't take much to open the door. All you got to do is to crack it a little bit. You don't have to throw it wide open. Just crack it a little bit. He'll come through that crack. But you get rid of him. Don't hold on to him. He goes on here too. He says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, they are one. The Word tells us that. It's recorded in God's Word. He said there are three in heaven that bear record. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Those three is what makes up the Lord our God. They all work and have worked with mankind in different times and in different ways, doing different jobs. When we pray to the Father, and that's how we're told to pray, we don't go out here and pray to the saints. We don't pray to angels. We don't pray to Mary, Jesus' mother. He says, you pray to me, the Father. And you do so in Jesus' name. And I will hear from heaven. And if you know that I hear from heaven, then you know that I will grant your wishes. But you've got to belong to him. Now, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. We're told in several places throughout this New Testament about Jesus being the light. We're also told that through the prophecy way back in Isaiah and Jeremiah, that Jesus is coming as the light of mankind. Now, but he's not the only light. Because tonight, if you are a born-again child of the living God, you are the light of the world. And you are share that light with the world. He told you, you don't hide it under a bushel. You let your light shine. Bring it out and let mankind see and know that you are standing on the word of Almighty God, that you are walking in and with him and in his power, and you have the power to do whatsoever he calls upon you to do. But that's what mankind teaches contrary to. Oh, no, you can't do them things anymore. That all died when the apostles died. No, it was just getting started. The apostles didn't have what you and I got. If you're born again, child of God, whether you're a man, woman, or what, they didn't have what we've got if we're born again, child of God. Not until the day of Pentecost. All the time they was with Jesus, and he was sitting on the mountain, they were doing all these miracles and things. They only had the Holy Spirit with them while they were doing that one thing he sent them out to do. And when that was done, they were on their own until the day of Pentecost. When Jesus went back to heaven and he sent back the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit to mankind in that upper room, that 120 with the apostles all in there, that's when they actually received the fullness of the Godhead. While Jesus was here on this earth, he was the only one that was actually filled with the Holy Spirit all the time. But when they went back to heaven, those that are born again, that's walking with Almighty God, have been given the same spirit that Jesus had while he was here on this earth. That's why we are told that we can do. Jesus himself told us. These things I do, they all that believe in me, these things that I do, they will do, and greater than these will they do, because I go to the Father. No, there's no reason why we have to put up with Satan in our churches. None whatsoever. When I came into this church, I got my bottle of oil. I went to that front door. I anointed up over the top of that door and down the sides of that door. The doorway coming on into the sanctuary here, I anointed the top of that door. And I've done so in Jesus' name and told Satan he couldn't come through that. I don't want him here. And I don't have to have him here. Oh, well, you're going to have people come here that don't belong to Jesus. That's right. They may. But Satan's got to stay outside. And then they'll either accept Jesus or they'll leave here without him. But they won't be bringing Satan into this sanctuary. I don't have to have him around me at all, and neither do you. Neither does she. No one that is born of God has to have Satan with him or with them. You just have to know how to get rid of him and do so. It's all in God's word. Now, we know that he made all things. He created the heavens and the earth. He hung the stars, the moon, and the sun in the sky. He made it day and night. He brought the land up from, put the land up from the water that we call earth today. All done by speaking, spoke it into existence. And you know, you can go back in, we're talking about the beginning, and get back into the book of Hebrews in chapter 10. And that the law that was given to Moses was just a shadow of things to come, of good things to come. These are things, see, when you don't really get in and stay in the Word of God and you go to listen to storytellers, these are things that you don't know and never will know without the study of God's Word. Show that you'll know that I'm not telling you something that's not so. 10th chapter of Hebrews, verse 1. Here's what it said. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. You see, we hear a lot about that one word there, perfect, don't we, today? Almost any church that you will go to will tell you that no one is perfect. No, not one. That only Jesus was. And out of that way. None perfect, no, not one. They just didn't read the rest of it. He was talking about us being born under Adam's curse and sin. And we walk with that old man's sin on us until we accept and bring the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit into our life. And from then on, we walk in spiritual perfection, or you will not make heaven your home. He told you, he ended up there, that they, the law couldn't make the comers there into perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers purged should have had no more consciousness of sin. But he goes on to tell us, he said, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And we know, when we drop on down here at 10, well, let's start with 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And you come on down here. You see, you got to keep things in context to know actually the truth of God's word. And every priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But after this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Listen to this. Here's what happened when the Lord Jesus Christ covered your sins, when he comes into your life. For by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. When you are born again, you have been justified and sanctified. You have been perfected in the eyes of the Lord of Almighty God. Because once you have been born again, you are not to commit those same old sins over and over every day. You are to turn away from them. That's what repent means. Repent means turn away. You've turned away from them sins. You're building your life different. Now you are not of this world anymore, of the family of Almighty God, and you are to be building your life accordingly. That's why you hear me, and why I get so sad in knowing that we put other things before God. Because when you do, you're walking on thin ice, you're walking on dangerous ground. There is nothing supposed to come between you and God. Nothing in this world. Not a spouse, not mother and dad, not brother and sister, not daughters and sons. Nothing comes before God. Think about it. But his word's full of it. His word is full of it. Letting us know. Now, we get back over here now. You see, that's that light that we're supposed to be to the world. That's the way we walk, when we are the light of the world. We are to walk in spiritual perfectness, doing the work and walking in the will and the way of Almighty God. How much prayer time do you have with God? How much time have you set aside to the study of His Word and keep it? Most of us don't. It's, well, as soon as I get this caught up or that caught up, I'll study a little bit. We want to sit down and read maybe 10 or 15 minutes like a storybook. Well, I've read the Bible. But you didn't study it, did you? He said, study the word to show thyself approved, to work in the word of his heart. You take time. Another thing, tithes. Most of us don't want to pay tithes. Well, you know, I ain't got no money. I just can't pay my tithes. I owe this, I owe that. There again, you're putting other things before God. If you ever really stop and think, I ain't got no money now. Now, Lord, my income this month is going to be $1,000. So that means my tithes is $100. But Lord, I owe out $1,100. So I can't pay my tithes this month, Lord. And I'm going to be in the home. But did you ever stop and think that if you paid your tithes and quit stealing God's money, He'd make a way for you to make it? You'd have more than enough. He tells you when you pay your tithes and offering to Him, He'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't even contain. Well, Pastor, you just don't know. Oh, yes, I do. Because I've been in that situation. Every time I didn't pay my tithes either. And I never got a bill caught up. Couldn't never catch them up. Always wondering from paycheck to paycheck, Lord, how am I going to do this? Lord, how am I going to do that? And finally, He made me realize, pay your tithes. You're spending my money. That tithe money don't even belong to you. That's God's. Whatever your income is, whatever it is, the first tenth of that is not yours. It's His. And when you spend it, you're stealing His money. That's why you ain't got it. That's why you ain't got more than you need. I started paying tithes. Right now, other than utility bills and insurance, I don't owe no man nothing. I'm not rich. I'm not wealthy. But I got money in two banks that I don't have to spend out on payments no more. I ain't got a whole lot, but I got enough to keep us. I got more than enough to keep me and her. I got more than enough to keep me and her and help a few other people. But I didn't have it until I started paying my tithes to God. It wasn't the idea that He even needed it. He's got access to all the money in the world. He don't need your money. But you need to give it. Because as long as you are holding and getting rid of His money, you are losing out on your blessings. Oh, Pastor, you just don't know what you're talking about. Yes, but I do. And I can even prove it to you. Yeah, that's the thing. I can prove it to you. Because I've got records for years and years and years how I lived. And I can sure show you a bunch of people I owe. Year after year after year. Never getting paid up. In fact, it got one time so bad that some of my bills, they tell me this month's payment, the minimum payment, will be $135. So I sent them the payment. Instead of my bill coming down, by the time they added their fees and interest, it'd go up. Be higher the next time. And so would my payment. Until I finally realized, pay God what is his. Give him what is his. And things started turning around. Wasn't long in doing it either. You don't grow overnight. It takes time. From the time that I first started preaching until I learned a lot of these things, there was a lot of years went by, Brother James. And I'm still learning things. And the day I step out of this life and into the next, I'll still be learning new things. This book contains enough information that if every book that could be written from this one book, this Holy Bible, we're told in that word, this world wouldn't hold it. That's a lot of knowledge. That's more than this brain going to hold, that's for sure. But he'll give me all that I need in order to live the life he has got planned for me. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ in honesty, in sincerity, and your sins have been covered, and you become that born-again child of the living God, God has already got your life planned. You may not know what it is for a while, but he'll let you know. You'll eventually come to know what it is. And it may be something that you've got no idea in coming along. Because let me tell you something. Back when I was 32 years old, even in my first few months of 33, if you'd have told me that I was going to be a preacher, I'd have laughed at you. And that's no joke. Yet my grandmother knew it. I had a grandmother that had told my mother and dad when I was little bitty. She told them, said, look at his feet. He's going to be a preacher. Here I am. She's gone on to be with him now. In fact, she left this life when I was 6 years old. She went home to be with him. She was another one that left this world.
like very few lived. For years she had a light stroke in her life, and she couldn't get over to wash her feet. Grandpa had to wash her feet for years. She couldn't bend over to wash them. But this night, when Grandma's time here on this earth was done, her daughter, my aunt, was living in a garage apartment that belonged to my grandfather and grandmother just across the yard. She had went over to see her. She come back in. Grandpa said she was white as a sheet. He said, "Mom, what's the matter?" She looked at him. She said, "Oh, I just seen a booger." Passed it off like that. He said, "Oh, come on now, tell me what's the matter." She looked at him. She told him, she said, "Dad, I won't be with you tomorrow." She sent him in the kitchen to get a glass of water. She told him she's thirsty. He went and got her water and he came back in. She was sitting in the middle of the bed with her big toe in her mouth. This woman that couldn't even get over far enough to wash her feet, sitting with her toe in her mouth. Grandpa was sitting with her. And at 4 a.m. in the morning, she took her last breath and went home to be with the Lord. She knew where she was going. She knew where she was going. God has our life planned, every one of them. When my work here is done, I don't know. But he does. He knows what he's got lined out for me to do between now and that day. I don't know. I don't know one day till the next, hardly. I depend on him. My trust is in him to keep me and to keep me on the road that he wants me on. And he knows that whatever he tells me to do, I will do it. It don't matter what it is or who would be involved. He said, "Do it, I'm going to do it." Because for one, I'm not going to wonder how and tell him, "Lord, I can't do that. I just don't know how." He knows how, and he'll see that I know. If he tells me to do it, he makes the way for me to do it. I may not know the way, but he does. I learned that a few years back, too. You know, I come in from work one evening. Oh, talking about the light. We're talking about the light shining in each of our lives. After I had told the Lord I'd go where he wanted me to go and do what he wanted me to do, I'd say what he wanted me to say in a minute. At the time, I was running a service station where I was making my living. I got off that evening and I went home, laid down on the bed. I was tired. I told my wife, I said, "I'm going to lay down a while for me." He came to me in a vision and he showed me this church. When he showed it to me that it was building an addition onto the side of it, making it bigger. That went away and came back with the church. All the windows, the doors were boarded up and closed. I knew where the church was. In fact, it was just two blocks in back of the service station where I worked. I didn't know what kind it was. I passed it every day and never looked at the sign. But he told me, he said, go and tell the pastor's name was Brother Chappell. I didn't know that because he traded there at the station. He said, go and tell him, give him this message, that if you go to that church and pray the prayer he's been praying, it'll be answered. And he'll build that addition. But if he don't, his church will be closed. I went. The brother chaplain told me where he lived. Pulled up, knocked on the door. Told him what God had told me. Told my son, what you gonna do with the information? But here's what he told me. I told him just as God had gave it to me to tell him. He looked at me and he said, well, will you go with me? I said, no. He didn't tell me to go with you. He told me to come tell you to go to the church and pray. He said, well, I'll follow you. He knew I had to go back by the church to be home. He did. He got in his car. He followed me to church. It wasn't a month later, and they built all the way down the side of that church another addition onto it. And it was full. His ministry changed. He went to preaching as much of this Bible as I preach it, as I do. And a year later, God took him home. God took him home a year later. The church is still there. It's in Florida. Newport Richey, Florida. God's word is truth. And if mankind will learn to accept God's word the way he had it kept for us and live it, not by what man has wanted to make it, but what it tells us, and let our light shine. You see, if I had not went and done what God told me to do, either he or I would have missed that, or both. His church may not have got the addition, and I'd have lost out because I didn't do what God told me to do. We are to walk in obedience because we are the light of the world. And you know, I ain't got very far in this chapter one. You know, here in verse 6, we're just getting ready to start about the second John. But we're going to have to take him and finish with him Thursday night because the Spirit is telling me it's time to bring things to a close. But in verse 6, he says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And he's talking here, this apostle John is going to be talking here about John the Baptist. And we're going to be getting into some more good, good things of God when we get into that. You know, there's nothing
that I love any more than preaching and teaching the Word of Almighty God. Nothing I love any more than being in God's house. And I want that sign that's over that entrance out there to mean what it says, that this is God's house of prayer. We're going to see some great things happen here. And Sister B informed me today that she's going to be moving. She'll be with us through next Sunday, and then she was telling me that would probably be her last. But she's going to move on us. She's going to go and move to Lexington. I don't know why anybody wants to go to Lexington, but that's what she told me. Anyhow, I told her we're going to miss her. And I think she's going to miss us. I know she'll miss my big mouth. But God knows all. We haven't even got into the grace or anything that's in this chapter. But God willing, we'll be getting into that Thursday night. So let us go to the Father in prayer now. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for this place to where we can come, to where we can spend time together in the study of your word, that we can spend time with each other and be of support for each one, Father. To be here to help each other to grow stronger along that pathway of righteousness. Help us, Father, to get stronger in our faith, stronger in our belief, stronger in our trust. Father, now your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we know they have very little peace, but we are praying for peace for them, Father. But even more than that, we're praying for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because we know, Father, that land still, Father, for the most part, is going by the law. And they need to be accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. And may the Holy Spirit work with them, Father, and bring this about so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, that has turned its back and walked so far away from the Lord Jesus Christ, without any excuse whatsoever, turning their backs on him, mocking him, denying him, even denying his existence. Father, help us to remove from office, our government offices, those that are standing against your church and against Jesus, and help us to put in those, Father, that will stand and help the church, and help us to put Jesus back into every place he has been taken out of, and our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit touch each one, Father, fulfill whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Tom's friend Dennis, Dennis's family in Oklahoma, for Amy and Amy's friend Sue, and Sue's family in Texas, for Tom and Amy and son, that young son, 13 years old, Father, in a mighty and great way among the youngsters there in Texas. For Terry Coates, Father, touch him with thy healing hand. For Dennis Breed and his wife, Tina. For the brothers in Christ there in Brandenburg, these men, Father, that have come from different walks of life. But when they come together, Father, bring them together in one mind and one accord, and that being in Jesus. For Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington. For Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg. For the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, and Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, this young man, William, that has been ordained, newly ordained, into the ministry. Father, we pray that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit and that he is the minister you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie. Father, we lift them up, put them in your hands. You know what is needed there. That little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge to where the lost that's walking in darkness, Father, can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. For my young pastor friend in Pakistan, Arun Islam, Father, we lift him up, and we ask the Holy Spirit to keep him safe, keep him in health, and see to his needs. And Father, for our pastor friend, Barak Mishai, also Father of Pakistan, Father, keep him safe, keep him in health, and see to his needs. For the Johnson family, for the Branson family, for the Lee family, Father, for my wife's family, for my family, and for each family that has heard this message or that will download it, Father, to hear it, may the Holy Spirit touch them and bring them to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ so that none be lost and all will be able to make heaven their home. And for all of those, Father, that is standing in need of a healing touch, touch them mightily, Father. Bring about that healing and bring it in a way to where they'll know it was you and not man. And Father, once again, this prayer I have made, Father, in Jesus' name, amen, and God bless. Remember now, God willing, we'll be together again Thursday night. So until then, walk with God, he'll walk with you. Have a great few days. So until 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday evening, goodbye.